Save big on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Dutch Boy's DuraFighter is an interior paint and primer in one with a tough-lasting formula. It provides great scrub resistance and durability with remarkable hide and a smooth finish. Save big on Dutch Boy's DuraFighter paint at Menards and start your next project today. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week. Save big money at
Menards. Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, ugh, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
All right, everyone. On this episode of Nothing Major, we're going to talk about our experiences in Geneva and also some prep leading up to the French Open. We also have a great interview with Richard Gasquet. It's going to be a two-part interview. First part today, next part next Friday. We also, the results are in for the Aura draw and then also the big match that Steve Johnson and I played against the 4-5 fellas. So that's what we got on today's episode. Let's get going. All right, everyone. Welcome back. It's Sam Querrey, John Isner. Two-man show again. Stevie and Jack not here. I haven't been here the last two Mondays. I'm sure the show did take a ratings hit, but luckily I am back. We also got Charlie Fox, the team at SIFT. I was on a vacation the last week. I was in Turks and Caicos at this pretty cool resort. Got back last night. Grind of a flight, though. I know you guys always talk that I'm like, things don't bother me. I kind of got bothered last night on the flew to Charlotte and then like flight delayed 3 hours. And then we got one upgraded seat. I was nice, gave it to my wife. And I'm just like with both boys in the back and coach and like Owen, my 3-year-old's crawling all over me. I look up, you know, they're bringing the ice cream down the aisle in first class. And I was pissed. But
I mean, that's a 5-hour flight, isn't it?
Yeah, it was a 5-hour flight.
And like, did he sleep at all?
Yeah, no. We didn't take off till like 6, so like halfway through, they kind of both fell asleep. It was just like that first half that was nasty, but made it through. You guys did a good job talking about Alcaraz Sinner final in Rome, the final everyone wanted. Let's do a little update for everyone. French Open starts soon. I am going to be there the entire time commentating and broadcasting for TNT. John, let people know what you're doing. If you want.
Yeah, well, I'm doing something with Bleacher Report, who is a partner with TNT. So, I truthfully, I don't know exactly what my role is going to be. I'm going to find out in about an hour or so because I have a call with them. But I will be over there with you, Sam. I know we're staying at the same hotel, so we're sort of colleagues next week. And so, Bleacher Report, to the best of my knowledge, wants to do something with you and I around Nothing Major. And it looks like it's going to be interviewing players and whatnot. So we're going to have a lot of fun with it. And we'll be over there in Paris. You'll be over there longer than I will be. But certainly for the first the first part of the French Open, we're going to be over there together. And it's going to be great.
It's going to be fun. But before we get to Paris, Geneva's going on this week. We both played it a handful of times. I think, or maybe you might have played it two times. Did you like Geneva? For me, it was like one of my favorite cities. I love the tournament. Yeah. We didn't have the greatest results, but what was your what were your thoughts on the Geneva event?
Well, you took a doubles title there.
I did with pod member Steve Johnson.
It was huge. Everyone remembers that.
They do. Thank you.
Yeah, it was one of those deals. You know, Rome was the week before. Inevitably, apart from the 1 year I made the semifinals of Rome, we were kind of out early there and. So it's like, what are your options? Do you go to Paris for 10 days and practice, or do you go to Geneva and play a tournament? And the answer for all of us was, yes, we're going to go to Geneva and play. So we don't want to get too crispy being in Paris practicing day after day. Geneva's a beautiful place. It's just so nice. It's so quiet. It's very expensive. But at the same time, it's just a great place to be before, you know, the hustle and bustle of the French Open in Paris. But I never played that well, but I certainly enjoyed Geneva a lot. It's just a beautiful spot.
I had one. If people ask me, like, what's the best dinner you've ever had in your life? I always think about the dinner we had in Geneva. We've maybe talked about it, but for if we haven't talked about it, I'm going back maybe 2017 or so.
I don't think we've talked about this.
2017. I'll tee it up for you here, but like it was John, myself, Steve Johnson, and we all kind of had like a coach with us. John got a tip from an Ethiopian cab driver about a good Ethiopian restaurant in Geneva, and he's like, you know, got back to the hotel room, like, hey, what's the dinner spot tonight? And John's like, I got the play. It's an Ethiopian spot. I don't think any of us had ever had Ethiopian food. But John, give us the rundown of the Ethiopian dinner in Geneva. Again, top five, one of my top five most memorable favorite dinners of my entire life.
Yes, and not because the food was really good. Well, the thinking was none of us played the next day. So Ethiopian food, it might be a little risky. Have you ever seen Along Came Polly?
Yeah, yeah.
Right, when he has the scene. I think he's eating Ethiopian food, right? So yes. Like, I had that in the back of my head, like, oh, we don't want that to happen. But I was just something different to do because none of us played the next day. It's like, let's go to this Ethiopian restaurant, walkable from the hotel. So we walk there, we get in, we sit down. And as it turns out, like, if you knew about this restaurant, you basically had to order, if you wanted some certain dishes, you had to order it like the day before. Is that right, Sam?
Yeah, like the whole restaurant you looked over, they had these beautiful dishes and we tried to order and the waiter's like, no, you had to order that yesterday.
And so we're all right. So we all order like the same thing. We famously, it was called the Doro Key. I remember that. And in like 5 minutes after ordering, like we don't have any silverware. Like, we flagged the waiter down, like, could we get some silverware? He's like, no, no, no. No silverware here. You eat with your hands. We're like, oh my God. So we all had the same meal. And the meal was like, we make fun of like European eggs. That's what our meal was like. It was very soupy. Cream corn, like chicken, like beans. We all had to use our hands to eat it. And it was, we have video. Stevie has all the videos saved.
Yeah, Stevie has the video. Dinner. You use your hands, but it's not solid food. It's like cream spinach, and you're like, and you're trying to eat it, and then and meanwhile, while we're having the dinner, we look over, everyone's got this beautiful like dish. Remember, they're taking the lid off it, and it's like this 24-hour cooked chicken, and the guy's just like, no, you had to order that.
Yeah, well, it makes sense.
Oh, but that, we were just, I mean, we were in tears laughing the entire dinner.
It was so good. Like, they did not have a fork in the restaurant. Like, it wasn't like, we encourage you not to use silverware. Like, there were no forks in the restaurant.
Yeah, no, they were true to their roots. But you said it. One of the most memorable dinners, and not because the food was good, but who would have thought Geneva, Ethiopian place. But yeah, you said, like, the tournament in Geneva is unbelievable. Geneva is, like, the nicest city. I always like playing there. I lost to Wawrinka there 1 year, like, when I was playing well. I remember this. In 2017, it was, like, a quarterfinal. Won the first set. I went up a break in the second set, 1-0. And then my knee started, like, killing me for some reason for, like, six games. And then I lost that set and then, like, couldn't come back in the third. But, like,
but
I
you
was,
were fine after that?
I was like, gonna, yes, just... I was going to beat Stan, like, 3-3. I was playing well. And, like, I had this, like, phantom knee injury that got me somehow. But I think that was my best result there. I was also the number one seed 1 year and lost first round. That's always not fun.
I think I was always a pretty high seed there. Like, never, like, I typically had a bye. You know, so you get there on like Saturday before the tournament, but you don't play till Tuesday or Wednesday or Thursday or whatever. And it was such a nice place. Like, I wanted to be there as long as I possibly could before going to Paris, but it was never really never meant to be for me. I don't know. For some reason, I just didn't play well there.
Yeah. One of my favorite things, though, was always the train ride from Geneva to Paris.
Oh, dude.
It was like a 2-hour train ride. The train rides in Europe in general are just amazing. It was always like a, you know, 2-hour train ride. You get the little section of the train with your friends, you know, cruising to Roland Garros. But did you like the week before Roland Garros? I mean, if you weren't in Geneva, let's say you lost in Geneva on a Wednesday, you get to Roland Garros, you'd have 3-4 days. Did you enjoy that 3-4 days prior to Roland Garros? Did you have a lot of media obligations? I know I didn't at Roland Garros. I don't think I ever did one media obligation. I had stuff maybe at the US Open and Wimbledon, but French Open, they knew I was going out early, so they just ignored that.
No, I didn't have much media stuff. It was always getting there while qualies is still going on. It's just super crowded. It wasn't the best experience, but at the same time, I mean, you're preparing to play a Grand Slam, so it's, you know, life's pretty good. But with quali still going on and you're there practicing, it can get a little stale day after day. So I always, you know, do some stuff to try to mix it up. I wouldn't practice every single day. Maybe if it was like the Friday before the tournament starts, I would maybe take that day off. And I would always really hope, because for a while now, they've had Sunday starts at the French Open, as you know. Of course, they have it again this year. But I got on a good stretch where I was playing on Sunday maybe 3-4 years in a row, which only 25% of the draw plays on Sunday. And happened to me like 3-4 years in a row. Most players did not want any part of that Sunday match. I wanted to play it because I know if you win, you get 2 days off and life's good. If it doesn't go well, you get to go home. So it was at the end of a long trip. So I always wanted to play on Sunday, and I was able to do that a handful of times and won and then had 2 days off. It was very nice.
I feel like there was like a story, maybe it was a myth, that like Federer played on a Sunday, won, and then like went back home for a couple days and then came back on like Wednesday. Or maybe it was Wawrinka. That's why it's a myth. I thought, yeah. Well, the point is, like, you know, those Sunday starts, you could play Sunday, then have Monday off, then have Tuesday off. I feel like I heard back in the day, I feel like it was Fed, and it probably was a rumor that he like won Sunday and then just like went home, you know, to wherever he lives in Switzerland for like 48 hours and then rolled back like Tuesday night.
Oh, he probably wasn't flying EasyJet, so he can make it down and back pretty easily.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know. I did that in Miami once. I was out of singles. I was still in doubles. Me and my partner, we had a walkover in doubles, one of our rounds. So I wasn't playing my next doubles match until like in 3 days. I had like 3 days off. And I lived in Tampa, Florida. And I'm like, what am I going to do? I'm going to go home. And then I'll come back to play the doubles match. But my point is, coming back, I couldn't have felt worse. Because I was practicing in Tampa. And just like, you get out of tournament mode. And then you try to reacclimate yourself to go play a match. Like land and go play. Like it just wasn't good. Played horrible. I doubt Fed did that.
Yeah.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility, he knows keeping the line up and running is a top priority. That's why he chooses Grainger. Because when a drive belt gets damaged, Grainger makes it easy to find the exact specs for the replacement product he needs. And next day delivery helps ensure he'll have everything in place and running like clockwork. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
There's no way, now that I think about it. I will say this, the French Open, I didn't have the best results of the French Open. My worst, I made the third round one time. John had better results. But the hotel I stayed in, and you stayed in there a lot of the years too, Hotel Desert, D-E and then S-E-R, it might have been my favorite hotel all year. And like, I was kind of bummed. Like, I would lose early a lot of times, have to leave. It was this little boutique-y hotel near the Four Seasons, near the Arc de Triomphe, and maybe
like
had
shared
like
a wall with the Four Seasons.
Yeah. It maybe had 50 rooms, and the rooms were just, you were in room like 1, 2, 3, 4 through 50, and every room was like a different shape. You remember that? And let's say your room was like 300 euro, which your room was 300 euro, my room was 300 euro. Your room could be way better than mine or way worse based on like the shape and size of it. But it was an unbelievable hotel.
Yeah, you stayed there for year after year, and I would always stay at this other hotel, and didn't really love the hotel. And finally, like, I gave in. I'm like, I'm gonna stay at the Desserts where Sam always stays. And yes, like, it was the best. It was like the awesome little breakfast downstairs, but the location was perfect. It was catty corner to the famous restaurant Le Entrecote with the steak and fries. Like, as far as the walkability goes from that hotel, and you're right beside the Four Seasons, which is like a $4,000 a night, per room, like one of the nicest hotels in Paris. So you're just in a beautiful spot, but you're not paying these exorbitant prices. But at the same time, it was a great hotel and had a great vibe.
Yeah. You say, would you say the most popular dinner spot is Le Entrecote in Paris?
Like for who? Like players?
I would, all in. I'm like players,
agents,
coaches.
Yeah, I mean, agents, the line would be wrapped around the corner. Like I would only go to it like one time. Right, of just something to do. It's not like I'm like trying to eat there 3-4 times, you know, during the course of the French Open. So it's just something to do one time, and they cram you in there like sardines. Very uncomfortable for big guys. Like, there's just no space in there.
They
very
move loud. The entire table. Then you get in, they push the table back.
Very loud. The waiters are moving so fast, and they get angry at you if you don't, if you're not ready to, just, I don't know. But
it is great, though. It is like a, for the people that are listening right now, L'Entrecôte, it's like a famous place in Paris, and it's near the Dessert. You can walk, and there's no reservations. Let's say it opens at 6 o'clock. A line forms down the side of it, and there's a line all night. You're waiting. That's part of the experience of it. I want to say you're in line for 45 minutes, but if you're in that line, you're seeing, like, you'll see broadcasters, you'll see coaches, you'll see some players. You like, on any given night, you're 100% guaranteed to see multiple people, like, in the tennis industry.
Absolutely.
And no menu. All it is steak and French fries. The waitress walks over. How do you want your steak? You say medium, whatever. They write it on the table, walk away, and then they pour this green sauce over the steak and the French fries. And it is awesome, and it is great. It's like one of those things where if you're at the French Open or you're a young player, it's like you got to experience it at least once.
Do you remember the street it was on? Or it's on?
No. You do?
Rue des Marbeufs.
Wow, that's impressive.
Does that ring a bell?
No. Yeah, no, that rings a bell.
Yeah, that's it.
I feel like I couldn't name any street name in Paris, but I can get to the places, like wiggle around and find them.
You're like a human GPS, dude.
That place is great. And the Indian place, Annapurna, is the other.
Yeah, Annapurna, very expensive, a tick overrated, but it's also sort of a tradition.
Did you ever sit there too? Really, a big guy, Indian, this is an Indian restaurant. Some of the tables, like traditional Indian, there's no chairs. You had to, like, wiggle yourself under the tables. You ever sit in the back there?
One room where you're sitting on the floor.
It's so uncomfortable. There's no back support. It's
extremely uncomfortable.
And they've got, like, full, like, tight, like, you know, the owner has gone and, like, killed a tiger, and, like, the tiger's on the wall, like, the skin of it. It's pretty wild. French Open, those are the two best dinner spots. My last French Open, quick story. One time I played qualies there. French Open. And the year before, I lost to you in the main draw, I think, right? 2021?
Yeah, we played first round,
Played first round. You had a... You were going to pull out. I didn't hear it until afterwards. But
yeah, I had some...
Your back was killing you, and then you got adjusted.
It was my back, but it was... felt like I pulled my groin. And so, like, I'm practicing, and it's like you're on clay, and it's like, oh, this feels horrible, you know? Like, I'm trying to slide... Anyways, Alejandro from the ATP physio, who would kind of in Miami when Mincic said he was going to pull out, it was Alejandro that, like, fixed him right before his first match. And Mincic goes on, so Alejandro's like, you know, come here, Johnny, like, I want to see you. And sure enough, he does the scene. He, like, adjusts my lower back and my this, and boom, the pain went away, like, right away. And this was the day before we played. I was prepared to pull out of the tournament. Then all the pain went away. It's crazy.
That was a bummer for me. Good for you. I'm glad. But yes, Alejandro. One of the best physios in the world. The guy's a miracle worker. But that was 2021. 2022, my last year on tour, I went back and played qualies. I couldn't tell you who I lost to. I wasn't in a good headspace. I was like, I might as well go play qualies, see what happens.
He was Hungarian.
He beat me like 2-3. It wasn't even close.
I warmed up with him. I think he might have qualified, and I warmed up with him like one of the days before a match. And I'm like, oh, that's the guy that played Sam. I forget his name, but I'm certain he was Hungarian. That just, I don't know.
During the warm up, were you thinking like, oh, this guy's good? He's probably going to beat me?
No. This was like, he beat first round, I think.
First round of qualies.
Yes, I'm saying. So he qualified. So this was before like our.
No. This was in the qualifying.
I understand. And then he qualied, right? And so now it's Monday, the day of our match. And I warmed up with him.
I thought you meant you warmed up with him prior to qualies. All right.
No. I warmed up with him the day of, like, we both played our first round match. I go to my coach, I'm like, this is the guy that beat Sam. And he was solid.
He beat me 2-2.
Ooh. You weren't in a good headspace.
Zizombor Piros. Haven't seen him since. Haven't seen the name since. I don't know what happened there. Have you?
No.
Seen this guy
was that
anywhere?
The same year that you played Murray in Newport? You put that video up in your social media. Was it that year?
Yeah. I played Murray in Newport.
You went nuts that year.
That's why I retired. After I lost to Murray later that year, I walked to the court. I was like, I'm retiring. I'm done. Yeah. I lost to Murray. I broke him out of the gate to go up 1-0 in Newport and then lost 1-0. Maybe 1-1. Something like that. It was awful. Anyway, yeah, it was my one quali experience. Oh, all right. Here we go. Piros, he's currently ranked 160. I thought he was so good, but maybe it was more of a case of
that.
Team
Hungarian, like, did I get that right?
Maybe it was more of a case that I was really bad.
Yeah, a little bit of both.
All right, we're going to get on to our Richard Gasquet interview. Unbelievable. This is part one. Part two will be out next week. Richard, as we know, is retired. This is his last tournament, French Open. So we're going to see what happens. Maybe he's got one last run in him. Who knows? But we will be cheering him on. So enjoy the – I hope everyone's going to – how do you not enjoy the Richard Gasquet interview? The guy's unbelievable.
I think this was a very good get for us. I mean, he's been playing. He's been pro since 2002 or 2003. So he's been playing for obviously for more than 20 years. Everyone knows who Gasquet is. He's got one of the prettiest games of all time. An all-around great dude. So for him to come on the pod, I think is awesome. He was awesome and so accommodating. And I think this was a really good get for us. And I think the fans are going to enjoy it.
With that, Richard Gasquet interview.
Welcome back to Nothing Major, everyone. Right now, we have a very special guest joining the pod, none other than Richard Gasquet coming to us from Paris, France. We all know who he is, Ironman of the Tour, over 600 wins on the ATP Tour, 609 to be exact. That's absolutely astonishing. He's been playing pro for 23 years, and he is about to play his last ever tournament at Roland Garros coming up. So Richard, thank you for joining the pod. This is actually our second attempt at this. We had some technical difficulties a handful of days ago. We're just going to chalk that up to just bad European Wi-Fi. Can you tell us what exactly happened on your end, Richard?
Well, you know, I changed apartment, you know. I am with my girlfriend, you know. All my life I was single, so now I have an apartment just for myself, so I had to change for her, you know, and that's why the Wi-Fi, everything, new apartment, new kitchen, you know, I'm an old guy, so everything is tough for me. I need someone to help me. That's why she's here now, and everything is working, so it's better for me. So now we can start again.
We really appreciate that, Richard. Before you got on this pod, the four of us we're talking because we all talk about like tennis players. We've been playing for so long, especially the ones that have been playing on tour for so long, like you have. Like, what type of tennis memory do you have? And I want to ask you specifically, do you remember the first time you and I ever played, Richard?
Of course, I remember. I remember it. You know, first round or second round in a US Open in junior 2002. I won quite easy against you, 2-4.
Yeah, something like that. You were.
But I remember. I remember you were playing very good, you know, even at that time. Not easy for me to say you will be top 10 or something like this, but you had.
Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Big potential. But
I do. I remember that, Matt. You were number one in the world in juniors, and we played on the grandstand court, I think, in the second round of the Junior U.S. Open. At that point, that was the biggest match I had ever played in. You were entirely too good. And I think everyone knew at that point, of course, that you were going to have a very prolific pro career, which is exactly, that's exactly been the case. So look, congrats to you on an incredible career. It's not done yet. Not done yet, Richard. And as I mentioned in the intro, Roland Garros is your last ever tournament. How are you feeling ahead of this year's French Open?
I don't know, you know, I just want to for sure to enjoy it because you never know, it's 3 sets, you know, it's 5 sets, it can be tough sometimes. I can win, you know, in 2-3 sets I could win even in Monte Carlo with experience, you know. You can play 1 set full, then you can recover a bit and play full 3rd set, but now in a grand slam it's another thing, you know. It's 3-4-5 sets, it can be tough for me, but I just want to enjoy it, of course. And yeah, I'm lucky, you know, to play my last tournament in Paris. Same as I said for you in US Open. I think you can stop there. For French, it's perfect to stop in Paris. So I'm very happy, of course, to stop there, and we will see what will happen. To win one match, anything can happen. You know, sometimes it depends on the draw. The draw is very important for me. If I play someone who plays very fast, three, four, five shots, I can win. But if someone is playing a lot of rallies, it can be difficult.
If you're going to do your first round, would you rather play like Carlos Alcaraz first round or like a random guy that qualifies?
Like, you know, maybe Baez or Navone. Nobody knows so much in France, but he's a very, very good player, Argentinian player. So you can play Echeverry, you can play many players in France. Nobody knows, I would say. And it's difficult. So I don't know. Maybe if I prefer to play maybe Alcaraz or Sinner, it can be a great on the center court for me. No pressure. And then if you are losing to someone who is qualifier or something like that, it can be different. So it's a tough question. I don't know myself if I prefer to play Carlos Alcaraz or qualifier. Of course, I have more chance to play a qualifier, but of course, I can lose too. So maybe it's better to lose to Alcaraz or to a 200 ATP qualifier.
It's either Alcaraz or like the 85th ranked American that he's going to get a win over. No problem. It's one or the other.
Yeah, America. You never know. On clay, sometimes it can be different. I remember you lost to Gilles last time, to Gilles Simon.
Yep, his last tournament. Or was it last
French Open?
Last French Open, yeah.
Was there like a specific moment in the last year or so that made it clear to you that you wanted to retire at the French Open this year in 2025?
When I started the season last year, you know, I was in the top 100, but I start feeling I was tired. You know, I was mentally tired. I was physically was not the same, and I wanted to stop. You know, in French Open. So last year I was playing not so bad. I was still in the top 100. So I wanted to play one more year, but I knew I had to stop this year. And of course, when I told myself and the friends and my family, I really wanted to stop in Paris as the best place to stop tennis. You know, it means a lot for me to finish in Paris. So that's the best moment for me. Of course, I hope to play well. We will see what will happen, but it's the best moment for me to stop.
Yeah, I mean, we all know how important it is to play in your career, the longevity, what it takes day in and day out as a professional. You know, you talked about winning your first match at Monte Carlo at 16. What are some of the mindset changes for you, you know, emotionally, physically, mentally, over the course of 20 plus professional years that have changed from when you started to your last event coming up in Roland Garros?
You know, it's still the same. You know, I'm old, I still want to play well. You know, I still want to have fun on the court, to try to win. But of course, I'm not the same anymore. You know, the targets are not the same. When I was playing, you know, I thought I could win a Grand Slam. Of course, it was tough with all the generation we had with Roger, Nadal, and Djokovic. But now, of course, it's my last time. I think it's another thing. You know, when you the first time in Paris, it's something incredible. And now it's another experience for me. That's my last time. I don't know what it takes, you know, mentally to play your last match. It's very, very difficult for me. I think you had the same. Of course, the day after, you know, we'd stop tennis. No more practice. No more travel. It would be something very, very strange. But I see when I see you on a Jack and Sam bring pickleball, you, everybody, I tell myself, you know, there is another life, no, not only tennis. So you can teach me what to do after, what life is. And I think there is a good life after tennis.
Richard, if you were listening to the pod a couple weeks ago, we actually went over Sam Querrey's epic 2008 Monte Carlo run. He only played that tournament one time. Yeah, so never, ever returned.
I remember, yeah, well, I was top 10 at that time. Yeah, I was surprised even in the last 16. I remember Sam on clay was maybe better on hard or grass for sure. But I was favorite. But he played well. You know, he played with his forehand and serve. We all know his weapon, and he played just better than me. So congratulations to to
thank
him.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you.
I never got that congratulations back in 2008, so I appreciate you saying that.
15 years later.
Not a lot of American did quarter. Not a lot of American players did quarter in Monte Carlo. Not so many.
Sam might be the last one.
Yeah, he might be.
Yeah. No. Yeah, maybe.
Everyone remembers Sam Querrey's 2008 Monte Carlo run. No, but anyways, Richard, so I actually fumbled the intro. I forgot to introduce you as a fellow non-major winner, which that is the case. You've never won a Grand Slam. But as we talked about, you have one more chance to win a Grand Slam and take your name off of that list. So what do you think your chances are to lift the title in Roland Garros?
Zero, for sure.
Oh, come on.
Zero chance, but if there is a non-major, as you do, I think I would be seeded. I would be top 10. No, who is your first one for you? Non-major. You have a great place. You did what, semis in US? In US?
Wimbledon. Yep. Sam did semis at Wimbledon also.
Yeah. Tsonga is seeded. Zverev.
Oh yes.
Non-major. Yeah.
Sasha's got to be at the top of the list. Berdych.
I'm top 10. I'm top 10 because in France, I'm the number one for this. You know, I was so everybody thought I would win a Grand Slam. Trust me, everybody. So to do semis, it's very bad. It's the same for you in US. When you are doing semis, it's not good for the country. In France, it's the same. When we are doing semis in Grand Slam, it's very bad. So in France, I'm number one seeded by far.
That's actually right. You're probably the best non-major winner we've ever had on this show.
Yeah.
He is.
By far, actually.
In France, you have great guys to do this. Monfils would be nice. Tonga. For the list, it can be good if you can invite them for a non-major show. I think
it's quite good. Sam, did you actually look up Richard's odds to win the French Open for us?
I did. I don't know if you follow like sports betting, but your current odds to win the French Open are 20,000 to 1. Same odds as Chris Eubanks.
I don't know who has the best chances to win Roland Garros, me or Chris. I don't know.
I don't even think Chris is in the main draw yet. You guys somehow have the same odds.
Yeah, I think if I can win one match, it would be great for me. It would be great. But I will stay in your show for sure. I will be after Roland Garros. I will be non-major winner for sure for all my career. Perfect.
No, that's good. Well, you've had an incredible career. We spoke about it. Over 600 wins, Richard. Not many people can say that. That's absolutely incredible. You turned pro in 2002. Did you ever think in your wildest dreams that 23 years later, you'd still be playing professional tennis?
No, for sure. No, because I start really, really early. You know, I start when I was 15 years old. I won in Monte Carlo one match in 2002. So, you know, this year I won another time, but it's 23 years later. So it's crazy. You know, I would thought I would play so long. Of course, I was lucky with the injuries, with the things like this. But yeah, never I would think I would play as long as today. Of course, you are 40 now.
Yeah.
40 years old. Sam is
40.
Sam is 86. My age, no, Sam?
86.
87. I'm 37.
Jack, stop at 25 years old.
Hey, too early.
Yeah, but he won Bercy. He won Bercy.
He
really
did.
Congratulations.
Yeah, he did.
Fifth major, as a lot of people say.
Yeah, it was the fifth major. That was my only goal in my career, to win Bercy. Then I was good. I was content.
And then you are 89, no?
89? Yeah, 89.
So yeah, I'm lucky. You know, I'm 39 years old. So of course, I'm old. You know, it's tough.
You spent spent more than half of your life playing professional tennis, which is pretty damn impressive.
I half of my life, I was top 100. I started at 17. I was top 100. So half of my life, I was in the top 100.
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, look, it's tennis. It's a brutal sport. If you can make it to your late 30s, I think that's a really, really good accomplishment. Was there like the last, what type of dog do you have, Richard?
There is a dog.
What type of dog? It sounded big.
There is a dog.
Yeah,
what kind of dog?
We like dogs on this show. We like dogs on this show.
Three of the four of us do.
Hey, Richard, do you take that dog to like all the restaurants in Paris?
You know, his name is John. John.
Is it really?
Like McEnroe.
What a cute dog.
That's like,
it's a Labrador.
Labradoodle. Yeah, it's like, yeah, I didn't think those made their way to Europe just yet. It's like all over,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, seriously.
They're like all over America. Yeah, yeah. That's a very cute dog. Do you take that dog like to cafes and stuff in Paris?
Yes, there is a new he's coming in France now. I wanted one, you know, and I called him John, you know, so from America. I have a girlfriend and a dog now. So
that's good. You're settling down.
When I was with you on a tour 10 years ago, was not the case, you know me? And now everything changed, and that's why I need to stop now. You know, I need to stop tennis.
That's good. Now it's y'all.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
We all got to move on eventually, Richard.
Not to bring up too many tough memories, but you just mentioned Rafael Nadal. Your record against him is not great. I think it's 0-18. Is there one match in that stretch that you felt like could have gone differently, that you could have gotten the win? And, you know, for, I guess, a little context for you guys, it goes all the way back. There's a massive junior tournament, Les Petits As, I know I'm pronouncing it wrong, that you guys were all playing at back when you were 12, 13 years old. So that kind of rivalry against one another, or that competitiveness, has gone back many decades. But is there one match that kind of sticks out that you wish you could have back to get a win over him?
Yeah, I think you can't imagine how many people told me, but you won Rafa in Petits As, no? Maybe I would say 10,000, 20,000 maybe in my life. Every week there is someone we in the street, but you won Rafa, not Petits As in town. Yeah, but yeah, I know. I won him there, and then I never won against him. But I would say my second time in Monte Carlo, you know, I was not afraid about Rafa. He was my age, you know. I played many times when we were junior. I practiced with him. He has the same age, so yeah, I knew him. And when I won Federer in Monte Carlo 2005, then I played against him, and we played 3 sets. But I really thought in my mind I would win this match, and I start to lose it. And as at my end of the career, I couldn't win even a game. I couldn't play anymore against him. I don't know what happened, but after you are losing 10 times, 11 times, 12 times, then I couldn't play against him anymore. I couldn't win even one set. I lost my mind against him. But really, when I stopped playing Rafa, I thought I could win. You know, same with Jack. You know, same with Jack. As I said in my life, there are two guys I never won. It's Jack Sock and Rafa Nadal.
That's it. Thanks to Gasquet. We'll be cheering him on. That was part one of this interview. Part two will come out next week, next Friday. Make sure you check it out. It's an unbelievable interview. One of our, it's been one of my most favorite guests we've had so far. Awesome guy. Thanks to Richie Gasquet. We've got a few more things we want to talk about. We're filming, everyone was pretty busy this week. So like this show's a little choppy. We're kind of everywhere. I'm actually currently filming from the bathroom at the Admiral's Club in the Dallas airport. That's the effort I'm putting forth right now. We want to talk about the Aura draw. Our Aura draw last week, Agassi taking the Aura draw. Let me go to John as tournament director. Is that a surprising result to you? Or give us a breakdown of the whole Aura draw. Like, I mean, I'm not going to say letdown. I feel like our fans didn't know what Aura meant.
No, it's not surprising that he took the title. And it's not surprising that he played Mac in the finals either. There were two first round results, which we were all perplexed by. And a lot of the comments on social were also questioned those two results. And that was Sampras taking out Safin in an Aura draw, remind you, okay? And also Becker taking out Guga. So those two results we thought were a bit suspect. Everything else I'm fine with, but those two results in particular, I thought our fans got it wrong. quite honestly. Now, Becker and Sampras, undoubtedly better players than Guga and Safin, respectively, but they don't have more aura. So I think our fans got those two matchups wrong. He's got to be such a legend in Moscow. Oh,
I would assume. Like,
just, I'd love to hang out with him there.
I would love to do that.
Yeah. Who'd you guys vote for? You guys vote Agassi or McEnroe in the final?
I voted Mac.
I voted Mac too.
I voted Mac too.
But I was okay with the final. That's a good final. A lot of aura between those guys.
Absolutely. Fun draw. Congrats to Agassi. I guess we're going to find him. John and I may see him in Paris. If we do, we'll get a photo with him and congratulate him. If not, maybe all of us at the US Open.
You definitely will see him. You guys are going to be colleagues. I think he's going to be there for the second week.
Yes, second week.
But you'll be on the desk with him, and I'm sure he's well aware of his aura draw victory.
He has to be.
Yeah. So he'll be ready to accept his trophy.
All right. The big match that Stevie and I played came out a couple days ago on YouTube. So we're going to break it down a little bit. John, you watched it organically for the first time. You didn't know who won. Before we get reactions from you guys, a lot of comments on the level of our opponents, David and Adam. We're kind of going for the 4-5, 5-0. Maybe they were a little closer to a 4-5, but we got to take into consideration they were nervous. Like, these guys don't play in front of cameras or mic'd up ever. And so I think a few people were a little harsh going at the level. They couldn't have been nicer. Couldn't have been cooler filming with us. They hit some great shots. As you guys saw the results, Stevie and I did win 6-2, 4-6, 6-3.
You know, I thought that after they took the second set, I thought they were going to win, truthfully. And weren't they up 3-1 in the
break.
Third?
Yeah, they were up a break
3-1
third.
In the third. No offense to them. I don't think they were like pure 5-0s. I do think, you know, so, but I thought they were going to win because you guys, there's no room for error, as you know. As you well know, you just played the match. So, but you guys came up clutch in the third and you really wanted to win. And I respect that. So there was no lollygagging out there. And it made for great theater. They were an awesome team. They had good energy and, the clip was great. And I enjoyed it as well as, everyone else did, as we know.
Yeah. And Stevie, I think a lot of people don't realize, like, they're like, why weren't you hitting serves hard for me? Or like, why don't you rip forehands? You can't in this. When it's love 40, you can't go up and just hit serves hard because you can't risk the double fault. The strategy is to kind of make more balls in at a 60, 70% clip, and that's going to be good enough to beat players at that level. Stevie, how do you feel like your game was? Were you surprised that we won?
Not surprised that we won. I've always bet on us. That's for sure. But like you just said, it's tricky because once they got to deuce, I feel like we actually played a lot better because there was we did have a little bit of, you know, we could make one error in there. But it is so hard when you're down low 40, like you're just trying to hit forehands. You don't want to miss. You're just aiming for like the biggest part of the court. But it was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed it. It was fun to kind of have a little competitive out there in a non-serious, enjoyable way. But I apologize to all the viewers if they listened to it on loud because there was a lot of heavy breathing, a lot of panting going on. I was struggling to get up for serves. I felt like my grunt was just trying to get it up there. It was not pretty. That was kind of the first thing I thought of when I was listening to it. I was like, boy, we are out of breath.
The fans seemed to like it. We liked it. We're going to do more of these type of events, particularly maybe Stevie and I, because we live close to each other. We want some ideas from the fans of what other challenges we could maybe do. And the challenges could be for John, for Jack, me and Stevie. You know, initially one would be like Stevie and I kind of were texting, can we get two good junior players, like, you know, blue chip 16-year-olds and battle them in doubles and there's a handicap? Can we maybe get the two best female college tennis players, they're up 30 love every game and play? So there's like a lot of different variations of things in the comments. Let us know what you guys think of like fun challenges that we can do because we want to do more of these. We also got Roland Garros, obviously around the corner here. We've got the Roland Garros bracket challenge that we are doing. We're just going to fill this out for the men right now, not the women. We might do the women down the line. We're going to test it with the men, see if people like it. We've already filled out our brackets. If you head to bracket.nothingmajorshow.com, you can enter, fill out your bracket. The five best finishers are going to get Nothing Major hats. Like we said last week, we're going to get the hats going. Five best finishers get the hats. But with the draw out for Roland Garros, John, who did you have? I want to know, who did you have winning Roland Garros? And did you have any surprises that were into like maybe the semifinals?
Well, but before I begin on that, a little caveat on our picks for whoever enters this contest with us. We just filled this draw out and the qualifiers were not all placed in. So if we have some results that make it, or some picks that make you scratch your head a little bit, it's because we don't know who exactly these qualifiers are. So it's a little, I don't know. It's not like
I took a couple blind qualifiers so far.
Yes, yeah. there were two qualifier matchups against each other. So one was qualifier four versus qualifier five. I took qualifier four. I like his game.
I have a qualifier making third round.
Yeah, I have a qualifier.
I don't know who it is.
I just hope they get hot, you know?
Yeah.
That's it.
I don't think I have anyone making third round.
I will say, you can see the finals here from the three of us. Like, it says the winners and runner-ups. We're chalk, as you like to say. We're chalk here. All three of us have the same final.
Yeah. All right, so let's go back to John. John, give us your final.
I had Carlos and Yannick.
And who did you have winning that?
Carlos Alcaraz.
Stevie, you have the same final because you just hinted at we all have the same final, and you have Alcaraz winning over Sinner?
Yep. Yep.
I also had the same final, but I have Sinner beating Alcaraz. Just so everyone knows, next week, remember, we're doing something major every other day during the French Open, so we're going to be constantly discussing brackets and draws, so we're not going to get too into the weeds right now. But John, who is your interesting semifinalist, if you want to put it that way?
Let me double checking this, but I had...
I'll go to Stevie first. I'll go to Stevie first.
Well, you're no, checking. Here. I got it. I got it. Runa and Djokovic.
Hmm. Yeah. So it's weird to think that Djokovic would be a bit surprising in the semis right now, but it would be, honestly.
Yep.
Yeah.
I like it. Stevie, any interesting semis?
I've got Novak and Musetti in the semis, but I've got Cerundolo making a quarter in Zverev's section. Yeah, I got Cerundolo making a quarter, and then running out of gas against Novak in that little section. But it's I will say for our American, our top-ranked American, Taylor Fritz, he does have a softer quarter than most. A lot of Americans are seated in that little section. He's got Korda, Tiafoe, Mickelson. So, you know, maybe one of the Americans can kind of get out of there and make a deep run into the quarters and kind of keep moving the ball down the field on the clay tournament at the French.
Yeah, yeah, that is like a heavy American section. All right, well, this gets going in 2 days, and we'll remember
potential,
again.
What do you guys think the best potential round of 16 matches?
I don't have the draw right in front of me.
Is it potentially Casper versus Tommy?
That's a good one.
Yeah, that is good. That's
a really good one. Seven seed Casper versus 12 seed Tommy.
Gasquet plays a wild card first round.
Yeah, Terence Atmane.
Does he win that?
I have Gasquet getting out of the first round because that's another French guy, and Atmane's a little crazy. I played him in one of my last tournaments. He's not afraid to go a little bananas, and I think it could be hard for him to play Gasquet in his last event. So I think Gasquet will have that on his side, and then ultimately he will get roadhoused by Sinner in round two.
Yeah, he might not even like...
finish. It'll be like 1-1-2.
Dickie, but he's pulling in to this, his last ever tournament with like just spare parts galore. He's just like clunking in to the starting gate, just like barely lifting up on his serve, but he's got the beautiful backhand, right? Like I can see him winning like a tough four set match and his body just feeling like absolute crap. And then of course he ain't going to beat Sinner, but we would love to see him win a round.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll be cheering for him. Even if he wins that, I'll be cheering for him against Sinner as well.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Anyway, that's like we said, we'll be back Tuesday, Thursday, and so on, breaking everything down. And at the beginning of this, I said the top five finishers are getting a hat, which you are. Whoever finishes number one in this bracket challenge gets to come on the podcast and chat with us for 10 minutes. And we'll just be part of the pod. We'll get your takes. So that's a
What
that's
a treat.
A pretty big carrot at the end of this.
Yeah,
for the,
what a treat.
For the champion. But anyway, all right, that's it. We got French Open, Roland Garros. You guys call it French Open or Roland Garros?
Roland Garros.
Roland Garros.
You got to come up with a little accent for your TV stint over there.
If you're in Europe, it's Roland Garros. If you're in America, it's French
Open. It says silent S?
Roland Garros.
So you've been working on it.
Yes. Welcome back to Roland Garros.
Wait, are you going to say Roland Garros?
No way. You're going to get so tight.
No way you're going to say that. You're going to say Roland Garros.
You'd be like, hey, I'm going to have my croissant and welcome back to Roland Garros. I don't know how I'm going to say it. But
dude, Sam, I looked at the weather. You know how it is in Paris. It's always like chilly during this tournament. A lot of times it is. And it's sure enough, it's like chilly. Like, I want to see you go like Benoit Paire scarf
on TV. I like
you know
that.
What? I didn't bring a scarf, but you're going to be there. Maybe you and I go scarf shopping. You help me pick out a scarf that I could wear on air.
Let's do it, dude. You don't have enough time to grow out the facial hair, though.
No, definitely don't. But that'd be a good look. All right, that's it. Roland Garros starts in 2 days. We'll see everyone on Tuesday.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.